Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, which is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. I am sitting in for Dustin today. I'm here in the Labatt Blue Studio with Greg Pickle, PSU football beat writer. How are we doing, Greg?
Pretty good, Jim. Glad to be back on with you, and we have a lot of Penn State football to discuss.
We do. I've got an agenda for us that I think is going to be pretty good. So we're going to start with, in quarter one, Penn State's place in the national picture. We'll get to that in a couple seconds. Quarter two, we're going to continue our two-part series on our questions for Penn State coming up in the 2020 season. We're going to look at the defensive side of the ball. Quarter number three, we're going to get to your questions for Greg with our Ask Greg segment. And finally, in quarter number four, by popular demand, even if it's just you and I, Greg, who are demanding it, it is time for the segment we call What Grinds My Gears. Now, we only do that with you and I.
That's right.
For those of you who haven't heard it before, essentially what it is, it's an opportunity for us to bitch about things.
That's right.
And hopefully most of them will be related to college football. Occasionally we wander off topic, but, well, that's what we do. All right, let's get to quarter number one. And I titled this segment, Penn State in the National Picture, Greg. And I'm bringing this up. This probably has a lot to do with James Franklin's famous quote last year where he said, we're a very good team or great team or whatever words he used, but we're not elite. And I think we all know what elite is. It's Clemson. It's Ohio State. It's Alabama. It's being in the college football playoffs. And Penn State obviously is not there yet. But let's take a quick look where they have been under James Franklin. Obviously, coming out of the sanctions era, I'm tossing aside the first couple years, but in the last 4 years, James Franklin has had three 11-win seasons in this last four-year period. Just to give some perspective on that, the previous 20 years, Penn State has had three 11-win seasons. The same thing goes for top 10 finishes.
Yes.
Three top 10 finishes in the last four as opposed to three top 10 finishes in the previous 20. On the surface, wouldn't you say he's doing a pretty good job?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, I think that the one thing that really jumps out to you, Jim, is Penn State is now in a position where they're not only retaining when other schools come after their coaches for head coaching or coordinator jobs. You know, I think it was probably glossed over a little bit, the fact that Tyler Bowen's now listed as the co-offensive coordinator and Joe Lurie gets now added to the title of outside linebackers coach as well as special teams coordinator. And Jalen Sider's now the run game coordinator. And look, I mean, what do those things really mean in the grand scheme of things when it comes to the playbook and the game plan and everything else? Probably not much. It's mostly about money, and you can funnel some more money to guys through adding titles, and Penn State's been able to do that the last couple of years. But, you know, Brent Pry has been well compensated, and he has also been a target of other schools who want him to be their head coach, and they've been able to fend that off. And when they've had to go make hires because guys get promotions, they've been able to pay what SEC schools are paying and what big-time programs at the Power 5 level are paying. So I just think that that they will continue to move in the right direction. But you know as well as I do that you can bring in Kirk Ciarrocca. You can look at the past and the double-digit win seasons and all that and say this, that, or the other thing, and that's fine. But it's always about what have you done for me lately and what will this team look like in 2020? And that's what the concern and the curiosity will be about until we get to kickoff time is, can this offense take another step forward without KJ Hamler? And will the defense obviously be very good again, but will it be able to hold up and not, you know, bend but not break in the most important moments against the best teams, home or away?
Well, and also, I think it's important to point out when there's talk with James Franklin renegotiating his contract, when he's talking about getting more money for his assistants, this is what it's about, being able to retain the people he wants to retain,
right,
so that they can get to that next level. And I'm going to throw something out to you. The question is, does James Franklin get enough credit for what he does? I know he's – I hear this and I'll call it praising with a little edge to it. He's a good CEO.
Yeah.
He's a good recruiter. Damning with faint praise is the expression right. I was looking for yep. there, Greg. Do you think that's fair?
So here's the thing. I think you have to be able to separate the truth from what that kind of stuff means. I mean, he is a good recruiter, and he does have an ability to oversee and direct a program in a way that few other coaches do. He's so organized. He's so meticulous. He knows what he wants when he has to make changes. He goes and gets those people when that happens. And, I mean, he runs the program from top to bottom in a very strong way. But a lot of times what people are suggesting when they say that is not so much that those things as much as they're saying, well, you know, but game day, you know, he can't really coach on game day. He doesn't know what he's doing on game day. And I think that there have been times where you just stop and say, why didn't you use your time out there? Or why did you use your time out there? Or why didn't you go for two? Or why did you go for it on fourth and two? And that's coaches get second guessed on that stuff everywhere, all around the country, every weekend, no matter if they are as successful as Nick Saban or Urban Meyer have been, or if they're a new coach like Ryan Day, or if they're somebody who has obviously proven that he can win and turn programs around and sustain winning at a high level as James Franklin has. So I do think that those things are true, but I understand why it bothers him, because he thinks, and in most cases it is, it's a slight toward whether or not he can, you know, actually handle the game day side of things as well as some of his peers. And I think there's evidence to say that if there's one area where he can improve personally, it would be on game day, and those clock management things and just in-game adjustments sometimes seem to take too long.
And that does seem to be the case. But here's where I will give James Franklin credit. In preparation for this segment, I went and took a look at, remember earlier we stated he has three top 10 finishes in the last 4 years with his teams. Do you know in the 7 years that he's been here, and you're a recruiting guy, you're probably well aware of this, he's had one top 10 class in right. recruiting. And by the way, that top 10 recruiting class included Justin Shorter, gone, Ricky Slade, gone, Asiadu, who because of other issues can't right. play. So take those three out, and that's not a top 10 recruiting class.
Right.
So is that not a credit to his coaching and his staff's coaching that they can get top 10 finishes out of a team that doesn't have top 10 recruiting classes?
Right. And of course it is. I mean, it's like kind of like, and this doesn't really apply anymore now that Mark D'Antonio is no longer the coach at Michigan State, but it's kind of like the Michigan State model on steroids a little bit, where they're not going to get mostly threes. Now, okay, it's 2020 signing class, they had more 3 stars and 4 stars and 5 stars, but generally speaking, they've had more 5 stars and 4 stars and 3 stars over the last handful of years. So they're not quite taking the Michigan State approach, but they are looking at it from the perspective of, you know, we might not get every top 10 player that we have access to. We might not get every 5-star or high 4-star that we have access to, but we're going to get the ones that we can. Mix in some 3-stars like Trace McSorley or like Nick Scott or like Amani Oriwariye, who can play higher and better than their high school ranking indicated. We're going to mix those guys in, develop them, and you know, let the chips fall where they may. So, yeah, that's been an impressive part of all this as well.
So I think where they deserve credit is in their scouting, that they are picking out 3-star guys who are playing at, say, 4-star level. Quarterback is a good position to point out. They got a real winner in Trace McSorley, a 3-star guy. They were on the Justin Fields bandwagon probably before anybody else was, even though they weren't able to retain them. That's probably an indicator of how well they scout. Now, what you have, though, for James Franklin's team is how do they get to that next level? And by the way, that next level is just a handful of teams.
Right.
It's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, maybe Georgia, maybe Oklahoma. And just to tell you the difference in recruiting, in that same 7-year span, I checked Ohio State's recruiting rankings. Do you know how many classes they had outside the top 10?
Since when?
In the last 7 years.
Well, you just told me about one. Yes, thank you.
So that's what you're competing against. So with that as the backdrop, what is it that this team's going to need to get to that next level? Is it going to need where they actually are going to have to lift that level of recruiting, where when they have years with opportunities like a Fleming and a Bressy, they need to bring them in? Or is it they need that elite quarterback? Again, the common thread in the playoff teams this year, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Oklahoma, they always have the elite quarterback, either one that they brought in initially or one that transfers to them.
Right. And so, I mean, the big issue with that has just been the lack of consistency, right? I mean, I think that's been – so if you're looking for getting into the upper echelon of teams, I think consistency is the one word that you'll come across at all positions. And they've had it at some. They haven't had it at others. And they've now brought in a couple of guys who have consistently developed players. And I'm thinking Taylor Stubblefield and Phil Troutwine and John Scott Jr. and Kirk Shiraka. They've consistently developed players. But only one of them, Shiraka, has really consistently stayed at the same school for a number of years. And I think that can be a good thing and a bad thing. I think it kind of skews what you're looking at when you look at the things that these guys have done off the field, because, or I'm sorry, you know, development wise, because you don't get a lot of, if you're at a school for 1 year, you don't maybe get all the credit you deserve for the recruiting wins. And the same goes with players. You know, you could set a guy on path and then 2 years later, he becomes an All-American. You're not going to get credit for that if you're only there a season, even though you certainly played a role in it. So, you know, to me, to get to that next step, they have to hope that these guys they brought in can not just recruit at a consistently high level, but stay around for a little while and develop some of those recruits. Because if you can't play in both baskets, then you're not coaching at, you're not doing the job at a level it needs to be done at to get to that upper echelon of teams.
Last question. I'm using Ohio State for comparison because they're obviously in the same division. This past season, one of the big differences, and this doesn't even count towards the recruiting.
Right.
Justin Fields came into Ohio State. He didn't go to Penn State. Swap uniforms there, Justin Fields as a quarterback. What happens to that balance between Penn State and Ohio State?
I mean, you would have to assume that it would be much closer. If not, I don't know if it would be completely reversed, because I think you probably like Ohio State's chances to win with some of the other quarterbacks that they have on the roster but not on the playing field. So we'll see, but I think it would certainly be a more even matchup at this point for sure.
An elite quarterback helps you get that elite team. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around. Quarter number two coming right up.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. And don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.